Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Christ Church. Are you glad you're here today? They asked that question earlier. How many have started Christmas shopping? Like, let me see. How many are finished Christmas shopping? God bless you. I guess as soon as Thanksgiving is over, Christmas begins. I actually think that Christmas now begins like Labor Day. In the stores, but officially it begins this weekend, and we're kind of kicking off this Christmas season with a message series on the movies. Real Christmas is what this is entitled, and we're going to be taking a look at some of the best Christmas stories. Like, we all love the Christmas movies, and there's just something about them that speaks to our heart. There's something that brings some joy, maybe some nostalgia to it. And I know that there are a lot of people that love the Hallmark Christmas movies. Can I hear from the Hallmark fans in the room? Yeah, seriously. I told them, I'm like, maybe we should have done a Hallmark Christmas movie series this year. But we're going to take a look at a couple of movies over these next few weeks. And for those of you who are here every Sunday, let me just remind you, if you're here every Sunday between now and December the 22nd, you're going to get a free movie ticket on Sunday, December 22nd. How many loves free things? I love free things. If you don't want that ticket, just hand it back to me and we'll just find somebody to go with me that day. So we're glad that you're here. Today we're going to take a look at one of the best, I just think it's a favorite of so many people, Christmas movies. And the movie that we're going to take a look at has to do with a family, and this family lives outside of Chicago. There's a lot of the folks in this household, particularly one little boy the storyline revolves around. His name is Kevin McAllister. He's 8 years old. And so today we're going to spend a few moments. We're going to talk about Home Alone. And I'd seen this movie, but I had really forgotten some of the details. In staff meeting, we were talking about some of the details, and somebody brought some of them up, and I'm like, I don't fully remember that. And then I decided I was going to go back and rent it, and in doing some studying for this series, I found out that this movie actually came out in 1990. And so it was 29 years ago this year that it came out, and the reason why I couldn't remember stuff out of it was because I was only 10 years old when it came out. And so... Thank you. Here we go. We're going to take a few moments and look at this movie. At the beginning of the movie, there's chaos in the household. It's a big home, and there are family members, extended family members that have come in, and they're getting ready. It's on the eve of going on a family vacation together. They're going to France. And I have to tell you, honestly, and I'm not joking, I had a hard time the first time I saw this, and even again when I saw it again. It was a trip factor for me that this many people could afford to go to France for Christmas. I had to work through some resentment and stuff. And so, see, it brings all of life's biggest issues to the forefront. And so this whole family, 11 kids, grandparents, aunts, and uncles, they're getting ready to take a trip. So they're all gathered in this house, and it's chaotic. In fact, there's people in the house that they don't actually know. Like, a security guard is in the house, and it's crazy. Somebody decides that they're going to order food while they're packing and getting everything ready, and they order some pizza in. And Buzz, the older brother of Kevin McAllister, eats the cheese pizza. And it's Buzz's, it's Kevin McAllister's, it's his favorite. They ordered it for him. And then his brother, older brother, eats the cheese pizza, and a fight ensues. And when they knock over the milk, and the mother gets angry, and she sees it as Kevin's fault, because he hit his older brother. And so she tells him he has to go upstairs to the attic and go to bed, because he's going to have to sleep up in the attic because there's too many people in the house. And so he heads up, and as he's heading up into the attic, he has a bit of a spat with his mother, and they have some words, and he's not happy about going up to the attic, and he says some stuff to her that I think that it sets the whole stage for what takes place in this movie. Here we go. Let's watch the first clip together.
Everyone in this family hates me.
Then maybe you should ask Santa for a new family.
I don't want a new family. I don't want any family. Families suck.
Just stay up there. I don't want to see you again for the rest of the night.
I don't want to see you again for the rest of my whole life. And I don't want to see anybody else either.
I hope you don't mean that. You'd feel pretty sad if you woke up tomorrow morning and you didn't have a family.
No, I wouldn't.
Then say it again. Maybe it'll happen.
I hope I never see any jerks again.
I wish they would all just disappear.
Doesn't that remind you of some family holidays? You just wish it could all disappear. The chaos of the night turns into an argument, and now he's gone to bed and he makes this wish. I wish they could all just go away, and all of this conflict and all of this strife and all of the stuff that is bringing grief to me would just simply go away. Well, the interesting thing that happens is during the night while he's sleeping, and he's in the attic sleeping by himself, there's a storm that happens and the electricity goes off. They're supposed to leave for the airport at 8 o'clock in the morning, but the electricity goes off and the van shows up outside to take them, taxi them to the airport, and the parents wake up and it's 8 o'clock and they're supposed to be leaving right then. So everybody, again, the chaos from the previous night is nothing compared to the chaos that morning, and they get everybody, they count the kids off, but somewhere there was a double up on the number. And somebody forgot to go up into the attic and wake up Kevin and tell him it was time to leave. They all get in the van and they go to the airport, get on planes and head to France. And at that moment, somewhere in there, Kevin wakes up and finds out that he is indeed home alone. The very thing that he had wished for, the very thing that he had hoped for, he doesn't realize that they've left and gone to France. He thinks somehow the Christmas wish that he made them go away. And now he's the happiest boy because he got his Christmas wish. He has the freedom to do whatever he wants to. He can eat whatever he wants to, man. Some of the food that he eats is just amazing. He can eat whatever he wants to. He can do whatever he wants to in the house. He crawls up on some shelves and busts some stuff. And there's nobody to pay attention to it. Nobody even to reprimand him because now they've all just simply disappeared. He does whatever, he has the full run of the house. He has, from another movie, let me borrow it for a second, he has freedom! You know, have you ever been in one of those places in your life where, like, everything gets really complicated and life seems to just become chaotic and you wish you could just wish it all away and hope for the freedom that comes for all of that stuff just to simply disappear? So in his freedom, he does all the things that he wants to do. He gets all of the things that he wants to get out of the house. But what he doesn't realize is that with freedom comes a dilemma. There's another side to the freedom. The other side of the freedom is vulnerability. Because he's now home alone by himself, and what they didn't realize was there was a stranger that was watching their house who happens to be a burglar. He's been casing the neighborhood. And as soon as he believed the family to be gone, he has a buddy and they're going to break into the house and steal everything from Christmas. He's going to rob the place, not realizing that Kevin is home. So Kevin, home alone, in his freedom, finds out that he's actually vulnerable. He's vulnerable to somebody that's about to break in and try to steal the things that he loves. As I was thinking about this story, I got to thinking about my freedom in my life. I remember when I was in junior high, I had a sister that was about a year and a half older than me, and she was actually getting ready to get married and move away, and she was marrying a preacher. And when this takes place, I was so happy because she and I were kind of buddies in school, and we'd run around together, and we were always accountable to one another. And then all of a sudden, I was getting ready to move up into the upper grades of senior high. And when I did that, I was like, she's not going to be here. I'm going to be able to do whatever I want to do. And there's not going to be anybody to tell my mom and dad. There's not going to be anybody that can really rat me out. And honestly, like, seriously, I got to thinking, and you have to understand how young I was. I got to thinking about the cuss words I could now use because my sister wasn't going to be there. And if I wanted to learn to smoke, I could smoke because my sister wasn't going to be there. I could be one of the cool kids that hung out on the corner and smoked cigarettes. And then what I soon realized was I wasn't free just to do that stuff. But now because I wasn't with anybody and I was standing there by myself, I was vulnerable to bullies. I was vulnerable to somebody being able to pick on me. And that's exactly what started to take place. So I wished for the freedom, but I didn't realize on the other side of that, that there was going to be a negative side. Many of us, we go into places in our life where there's conflict. We go into places in our life where there's some difficulty, and we wish we could just get to the other side of this. We wish we could just wish the whole thing away. We wish we could be free of it. But what we don't understand is in sometimes wishing the people away, in sometimes closing ourselves off from the circumstance, and sometimes we realize that we've been hurt or there's something that is going on in life that we're uncomfortable with, we decide that we are going to make ourselves alone. We're going to make decisions that will separate us from that. We're going to separate ourselves from whatever that conflict is going to be, whatever that circumstance is going to be, whether it's something on our job or in our family or in our neighborhood, and sometimes even in our church. We decide that we're going to separate ourselves from that because there's a freedom. We'll be free of that. But what we don't understand is on the other side of that, there is a vulnerability that takes place. The thing that I've started to realize about that vulnerability is what we hope to be solitude eventually can become isolation. When we want solitude, but it can become isolation. And in that isolation, we make ourselves vulnerable for an attack. We make ourselves vulnerable for a mindset. In fact, let me just talk about this for a few moments. So this is a conversation from a man who is single. This is somebody who lives alone. Let me just say that there's a difference between being alone.
It's possible for us.
Microphone number 4. Give the folks in the tech booth a big hand today. There's a difference between being alone and being lonely. It's a mindset. And there are times when in life, when we push back from folks, push back from circumstances, maybe we feel like we've been betrayed. Maybe we feel like there's somebody that has hurt us. Some of you have walked through divorce. Some have walked through grief. You've had loss of a friend or a family member. Some have been laid off. You've been betrayed maybe by a friend, or maybe you've been betrayed by somebody at your job, or even maybe somebody here at church. And you push back, and what happens is you start to become vulnerable, not just to isolation and not just to being alone, but to loneliness. And in that loneliness, there's the opportunity for some negative mindset to take place. There's an opportunity for you to start to think very different about life. And so that's exactly what takes place in this circumstance. Kevin is at home, and now he has these folks that are trying to break in, and he feels very vulnerable, and he decides what he's going to do is he wants to turn the circumstance around. So how he's going to do that, he's going to go find Santa Claus, and he's going to make a wish and wish for his parents to come back because he wants to reverse the circumstance. So as he goes out, eventually what happens is he finds a manger, and he sees a manger. How about that for the symbol of hope, you know? Isn't it amazing that there are a lot of people that are hoping for something that can't really change their life or change their circumstance or change their mindset? They're hoping for something fictitious when really, like, the hope of the world is Christ, and he came to the earth. And so Kevin sees this baby in a manger, and he goes into a church, and he has a conversation with one of his neighbors who he's been afraid to talk to. And at that moment, he has a conversation with this gentleman in church. Let's take a moment and listen to this.
I'm in kind of a pain lately. I said some things I shouldn't have. I really haven't been too good this year.
Yeah.
I'm kind of upset about it because I really like my family. Even though sometimes I say I don't. Sometimes I even think I don't. Do you get that?
I think so. How you feel about your family is a complicated thing.
Especially with an older brother.
Deep down, you always love them. But you can forget that you love them. And you can hurt them, and they can hurt you. And that's not just because you're young. You want to know the real reason why I'm here right now?
Sure.
I came to hear my granddaughter sing. And I can't come and hear her tonight.
You have plans?
No. I'm not welcome.
At church?
Oh, you're always welcome at church. I'm not welcome with my son. Years back, before you and your family moved on the block, I had an argument with my son.
How old is he?
He's grown up. We lost our tempers, and I said I didn't care to see him anymore. He said the same, and we haven't spoken to each other since.
If you miss him, why don't you call him?
I'm afraid if I call him, he won't talk to me.
How do you know?
I don't know. I'm just afraid he won't.
No offense, but aren't you a little old to be afraid?
You can be a little old for a lot of things. You're never too old to be afraid.
That's true. I've always been afraid of our basement. It's dark, there's weird stuff down there, and it smells funny, that sort of thing. It's bothered me for years.
Yeah, basements are like that.
Then I made myself go down there to do some laundry, and I found out it's not so bad. All this time I've been worrying about it, but if you turn on the lights, it's no big deal.
What's your point?
My point is you should call your son.
What if he won't talk to me?
At least you'll know. Then you can stop worrying about it, and he won't have to be afraid anymore. I don't care how mad I was, I talked to my dad, especially around the holidays.
I don't know.
Just give it a shot, for your granddaughter anyway. I'm sure she misses you and the presents.
I sent her a check.
Wish my grandparents did that. They always sent me clothes. Last year I got a sweater with a big burr knitted on it.
Oh, that's nice.
Not for a guy in the second grade. You can get beat up for wearing something like that.
Oh?
Yeah. I have a friend who got nailed because there was a rumor he wore dinosaur pajamas.
You better run along home where you belong. You think about what I said, all right?
Okay.
It's nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you. What about you?
Me?
Yeah, you and your son.
We'll see what happens. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Both of them are experiencing fear. Both of them are experiencing isolation. And I love that in a church setting, they start to coach one another. They start to encourage one another. So one of the things that I would love to talk to you about for a few moments is to tell you that, like, you need each other. We need each other. Like, we have to encourage one another, and we have to somehow even encourage one another to come out of the shadows and to come out of the circumstances. And many times we're not ready to do it on our own, and we need somebody that will encourage us to step forward, somebody to take a step. pull ourselves out of isolation. See, a few moments ago, I was talking about loneliness as a mindset. A mindset is something, it's the framework from which you live. It's your natural go-to place. When you have a mindset of loneliness, you just naturally go there. If you, in any circumstance, you could be in a crowd. If you have a mindset of loneliness, you naturally go to that place. And so what you have to do is you have to have some people that will help to pull you out of those places. But you have to put yourself in those places where they can help. That's one of the reasons why I love groups here at Christ Church of Orlando, is because you can be in a group where there's going to be somebody who's going to help you through the difficult circumstances of life. They're going to help with the mindset that you might be working in. And then there's one last thing about this that I think that we have to pay attention to in this, that in this circumstance, he leaves the church. And when he leaves the church, he decides he's going to go and do something about this. He's been encouraged by a friend, and I think on some level he's been inspired by faith, and now he's going to go and do something about this. He's not going to allow that mindset to keep him where he's been. And so he runs home, and we're going to show one clip, and then we're going to finish out for a few moments this morning. But let's watch this last clip together, because this is the turning point. I love that clip, because what he does is he goes home and he says, this is my house. This is my place. This is my space. So let me talk to you for a few moments and talk to you about a greater story. God created us for us to have relationship with him. From the foundation of the earth, he created us to be with him, to walk with him and talk with him. And the enemy comes along and he spoils that. He tells a lie. And as he tells that lie, he deceives, and there's a separation that takes place. It actually puts man in isolation, puts man separated from God. But Christ came to restore us from that separation. There's a work that Jesus did. He did it on the cross, and it's what Christmas is all about. He came to restore us in relationship with God. But let me just say, there's something that we have to do also. We have to make our mind up that we're not going to live in the mindset that the enemy wants to keep us in. We can't live where he wants us to be, in isolation and alone, where he steals from us the things that God has for us. Here's what scripture says in John, the 10th chapter and the 10th verse. Satan comes to kill and steal and destroy, but I have come that you would have life and live it to the full. In this holiday season, Satan would love to come and kill and steal and destroy. He would love to come and steal your joy. He would love to come and steal your relationship with God. He would love to come and steal your relationship with your family members and with your friends. He would love to come and murder your faith, because here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, Satan is a liar. And anytime that he speaks, he's speaking a lie. But he's a liar and a murderer, and the truth is not in him. So we have to begin to identify that the mindset that he wants to keep us in is one that keeps us away from what God has for us. So you have to make your mind up that you're going to fight your way back. It's not just enough to know that God had given joy and that God's given peace, but it belongs to you, that the things that Christ came to give to us, they belong to you. So you have to get to the place where I'm going to fight for it. I'm not going to live in this spot. I'm not going to isolate myself. I'm going to fight for it. I'm going to put myself in places. And sometimes it might be a little bit uncomfortable, but you have to make, this is my house, and I'm going to fight. Okay. Shirley Cook was on staff with us for many years, and Shirley was about this tall and all dynamite, and just awesome. But one of the things that she used to say all the time, she wanted me to sing the song, I'm going to the enemy's camp, and I'm still taking back what he stole from me. I'm going to the enemy's camp, and I'm going to take back what he stole from me. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. The devil's under my feet. Some of us need to go to the enemy's camp and take back what he stole from us. We need to go back and take our faith back. We need to go back and get our joy. We need to go back and get the peace that the enemy has stolen from us. And how do we do that? We do that by pursuing the principles that God gave us through Christ Jesus, to spend time in his spirit, to spend time in his presence, to worship him. And as we do that, let me just tell you, you're going back and you're taking back the mindset that God has given you, that you're free. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and live it to the full. So today I'm going to challenge you. Fight back. Fight back, because here's what I do know for you from God, is that God has an intention for you, that he's with you. So hear these words today. God is with you. He's not left you alone. God's not separated himself from you. It's the lie of the enemy. That God is with you. In fact, when the Christmas story is declared in Matthew, the first chapter, starting in the 20th verse, the angel of the Lord comes to Joseph and says, don't be afraid to take this woman as your wife, because the child that is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And then he references back to the book of Isaiah. They've been waiting for hundreds of years to hear these words, that Jesus was coming, the Messiah was coming, and that he would be God with us, Emmanuel. Would somebody just say, Emmanuel? Emmanuel means God with us. It means that God's not somewhere afar off, that God's not separated from us, that he actually made the effort to come and be with us. That's how much God loves you. That's how much God wants to be with you, that he broke every barrier to come and be with you. God with us. And you might be saying, well, I'm not exactly sure about God being with me now. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Testify to yourself. Look back over your shoulder and see that God was with you, that God's been with you through circumstance. Some of you have been through difficult circumstances and you're still standing. Some of you have been through things that people said you'd fail, that you'd never move forward in your life, and yet you're still standing. There are people that have prophesied things over you, not necessarily in the spirit, but they've tried to plant something down inside of you, and yet you're still standing. And here's the reason why, is because God has been with you every step of the way. When you look back over Joseph's life, Joseph in the Old Testament, his brothers betrayed him, put him in a pit, sold him into slavery. He ended up in Potiphar's house. He ends up being betrayed and being forgotten for 13 years. And yet after 13 years, if any one of those steps along the way, he would have stopped. He might have questioned, is God with me? But when he got down to the end of his journey and he's standing basically as the prime minister in Potiphar's house, in Pharaoh's house, he can look back over his shoulder and say, God was with me every step of the way. I couldn't see it, but he was with me every step of the way. And for some of you, you've been through hard journeys. You've been through difficult places, but I'm going to tell you, testify to yourself. Remind yourself that God has been with you. He was with you, and he'll be with you in the days ahead. It's not just this day, but he's going to be with you in the future. There's one passage I want to read before I close out today. I'm in Romans, the 8th chapter, and I'm going to read in verse 35. God will be with you in your difficulties. God will be with you in sickness. He'll be with you in betrayal. He'll be with you in hardship. He'll be with you in loneliness. He'll be with you in the things that Satan comes and wants to destroy your life, but God will be with you. And here's what he says in Romans, the 8th chapter. The Apostle Paul says, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, shall hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors. No, in all these things. Will you just take a moment and think about the things? In all these things, in your things, in the things that you're walking through, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor demons neither present nor the future nor any powers, nor height nor depth nor anything in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen today. God is with you. He's in the circumstances with you. Every time I read that passage, I love that passage by itself, but every time I read it, it makes me go back to the verses just before it. Here's what it says in Romans, the 8th chapter and the 31st verse. What will we say in response to these things? Are you ready? So this is the mindset. This is the mindset. Up to this point, it's been the mindset that separated us. It's been the mindset that has kept us in isolation. What will we say to these things in response to these things? Are you ready? If God is for us. If God is for us, who can be against us? Some of you need to get a new mindset. You need to tear down that old mindset and start to hear a new mindset that God is for us. That God is for us. I just want you to hear it today. God is for us. Will you say this with me today? Just say it out loud with me today. God is for me. Will you just say it one more time? God is for me. I'm praying that while we're here in the presence of the Lord this morning, that the Holy Spirit just starts to wash over you and that somehow you allow it to seep down inside of you in the places where you're isolated and the places where you feel alone, the place where you've been hurt from betrayal, the place where you feel like there's been chaos and you don't know what to do about it and you don't know where your peace is, you don't know where your joy is. In the middle of this, the enemy would love to tell you that you're on your own, but let me tell you today, God is not just with you, God is for you. God's not just with you, God is for you. And so I want you to just close your eyes with me for these next few moments, if you would. And I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to breathe life down inside of you. Break down every barrier, break down every place that would separate you from the plan and the love that God has for you, the purpose that He has for you. And I want you to say it to yourself so it seeps way down inside of you. Will you say with me, God is for me? Come on, will you say it again with me? Here we go. Ready? God is for me. Lord, I know there are circumstances that each of us, we've created, and sometimes the circumstances that we've created are the ones that bring separation. And there are sometimes, Lord, that it's not our decision, but it's somebody else's decision. Or maybe it's just life and the course of life that comes, and it seems like it backs us into a place, and it makes us be alone, but it separates us in such a way that it makes us vulnerable. And today, Lord, we need to hear You just speak to every heart and speak to every spirit that You're with us, Emmanuel, God with us, and that You're for us. And Lord, I thank You, God, for this Christmas season where we can begin to reflect that You didn't just come to this earth for the rich, or You didn't come just for the good, but You came for those who were broken and those who needed You. You came to be with every one of us. So, Lord, we receive Your presence. We receive Your healing today. And, Lord, we hear Your word that You are for us. If you're here today and maybe you've never said yes to Jesus as Lord and Savior, and it's just been a religious practice to you, but you didn't realize that like every step of the way He's been with you in your good and in your bad and your brokenness, and the enemy has lied to you and told you that like you're so far from God, you'll never be able to get near to Him. And today I'm here to bring a revelation to you that God loves you and He's for you and He wants a relationship with you. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, will you just repeat this prayer after me and say yes to Jesus this morning? Receive Him in. Will you repeat with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge that Jesus is Your Son, that He came to this earth to give me a new life. So today I receive Jesus. Jesus, come into my heart. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. And from this day forward, I'm going to follow you. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you just prayed that prayer today and you received the work of Christ and salvation, I want to pray for you in the days ahead. I'm not going to embarrass you today, but I want to pray for you in the days ahead. So if you just prayed that prayer, can I see your hand right now if you needed to pray that prayer? Yes, I see it. I see it. The Lord sees that hand. Yes. Yes, I see it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the individuals that are raising their hands in this place today. If you just raised your hand, in the seat in front of you, there's a card that says, I made a decision to follow Jesus. Will you just be brave? Step out of the isolation. Step out of the mindset and step into what God has for you. Reach forward and take that card. And that card says, I made a decision to follow him. Fill it out. And then today, turn it into us down front here or go to the Starting Point kiosk so we can help you on this journey. Amen. Will you let them know they made the best decision of their life? So what do we say in response to all of these things? Somebody say it with me. If God is for me, who can be against me? What do we say in response to all of these things? I'll do it again. What do we say in response to all of these things? If God is for me, who can be against me? Will you just stand with me today and praise him that you know God is for you today?